Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
He is Drew Hill, lead Grizzlies reporter for the Daily Memphian. And I gave Frank the week off in terms of, you know, false headlines. I'm going to give you that same courtesy.
Thank you. We need it right now.
Things are so bad that if I were to do that, I would say, like you wrote, you know, everybody calm down. Things are going to be just fine when Ty Jerome gets back. But you wouldn't write that, you know. And again, things are just too sensitive right now to joke. That was embarrassing last night.
That was a bad performance. That one hurt because it was what looked like a break in the schedule.
Right.
Honestly, this is the truth. I see Jason, I think, has my story from last night pulled up.
There's a key word in it, Drew. I want to quote you. Mess.
Yeah, it was a mess. It was a mess.
Mess.
I found myself like not even knowing what to say last night, and realizing that no one really wants to read that.
Look at my questions for you, yeah. Drew Hill. I have 10 questions lined up. There's one word.
Mess.
Mess.
Yep,
I quoted you.
That's what the season's been. That's especially what it was last night. It was a disaster. We can take it up from mess. It was a disaster.
Yeah, it was. And look, they were an 8.5 underdog at close. It was obviously that's probably the smallest number they'll have probably the next two games is as an 8.5 point dog. But, you know, that doesn't preclude you from competing in the game. And that's the part that is the most disturbing. And I think it's what obviously Tuomas Iisalo said after the games, like, you know, we just didn't. We got out rebounded by a team of dwarves, basically. Is what he said. Like, they're all small, and we got out-rebounded and out-hustled.
It was a mess. The Celtics started two players with fewer than 20 career starts yesterday. They're 5-7 going into the game. Even if they're 8.5-point underdogs, that's a game that's gettable, like, clearly, because Boston is not very consistent.
Right, right.
And they just no-showed the game. I mean, the problem is, too, and we don't need to be in the business of making excuses for last night, because not putting forth a good effort or hustle is inexcusable. But offensively, they have no threat when Ja's not out there on the ball, because especially without any other point guards, no Ty Jerome, no Scottie Pippen, no Ja, they're just throwing the ball around the perimeter last night and shooting threes, and outside shooting has been a weakness all season long. And you're what, 10-43 last night? I mean, just not even close to good enough from three. So, and that's going to be a problem. You know, you would expect that some of these guys are going to shoot better from three over a longer stretch of games, but not enough to make it significant. And so I mean, this team has a lot of problems right now, and we could spend probably the whole 3 hours of y'all's show going through them, but we don't have that time.
Does the fact that, how hopeful are you that Zach Edey's back by Cleveland? Can we just read it in the fact that he got, you know, listed as upgraded to doubtful and hopefully this next one's questionable? Are you, you know, with how desperate things are, the fact they took him on the trip, right? Jess, I think, was telling us, Jessica Benson, and it might have been you, Drew, or maybe you told me first, but, you know, they're coming home before San Antonio, so they didn't have to take him on the trip. Seems like he's close. How hopeful are you that he's back, at least for Cleveland?
The last I heard when I inquired about this was likely but not certain, the Cleveland game. So likely, meaning good chance he's going to play in the game. Not 100%. That was not 100% set as of yesterday. But I think he's likely to be on the floor when we play Cleveland. Yeah.
I ask you that to ask you this. Chances we see Ja back out there. One of the things happened last night, KCP gets hurt. Said now, maybe that facilitates Cedric Coward into the starting lineup, and you got Zach Edey out there. Maybe we're looking at a different starting lineup by Cavs. I'm trying to get out of this, so I'm trying to, you know, let you steer me if you think that's a good possibility.
I think that Zach Edey is going to probably be limited when he gets on the court, player would be that's been off that amount of time. Like, we don't need to overplay that. Like, of course he's going to be limited to some degree.
KCP but, doing. I mean, that's.
But yeah, and KCP's been dealing with an elbow for a while, and then it obviously got aggravated in the game last night. Yeah, no, I at one point in the game I wondered last night, are we going to have the best five Grizzlies players, you know, available on the court together, or what you would expect the starting lineup to be on opening night? Is it going to be out there on Saturday for the first time? That would be, you know, Ja, Jalen Wells. At some point, we thought Cedric Coward may become the starter. Cedric Coward, Jaren, and Zach Edey. I mean, that's a starting five that actually you would expect can compete. But the way that this team has played this season, they have not been able to find consistent energy and effort on a night-to-night basis. So we'll see what happens. You know, everybody was wanting this injection of life into the team as some of these guys come back. It's just much harder to buy when the team's trending in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. All season long, and maybe had their worst. I mean, the Heat loss was really terrible, but it was early. Mm-hmm. You know, this Boston loss, I would say,
well, contextually,
is probably
it's not even close.
Oh yeah, this is the low point.
Because now you know, like, you know, what's going on behind the scenes. Like, it's obviously all out there on Front Street. Everybody's regressing.
Some of what's out there is just misinformation. It is. I mean, like, I try to combat some of the stuff online, but
what do you think is, like, the biggest piece of misinformation?
The Grizzlies were not trying to hire Mike Brown or Mike Malone. That was never a thing. And Ja and Jaren advocated for Isolo. They have the right to change their mind. There's nothing wrong with, you know, like, this happens all the time where players and coaches have a beef that they have to get through. I'm not suggesting that, like, anything was wrong, but like it is wrong to say that the Grizzlies were, like, you know, or that there was a push for these coaches. There was never a push for those coaches. It's misinformation. It's just not true. And so, you know, but like, let's, with anything, and I'm a fan of teams too. I'm a fan of Alabama. I'm a fan of the Chicago Bears, right? And when I see, when I'm unhappy with the Bears and I would see things out there that I'm not attuned to because I'm not in Bears media world or behind the scenes, like, if I'm inclined to believe it, I will just believe it.
Right. Right.
Right. I think there's some of that happens. That's fandom, right?
Exactly.
So I'm not blaming anybody. I'm guilty of it too, but that's just, that part of it is just, it couldn't have been further from the truth. It's just not true.
Yeah. I just think it's a really gnarly situation. Everybody on the team is regressing, right? That was here yet last year. Jalen Wells does not look like an NBA starter right now. I'm not saying he never can again, but he doesn't. You know, Jaren, I already went on my rant about Jaren. You know, Ja's numbers, he can't make a three. Santi is like very inconsistent, which I guess that's kind of always.
Santi's actually been better.
Has he been better?
Okay, good last night.
So. Seven straight games. All right, fine.
The European.
He's like one guy.
Something good.
Like, yeah. That's what I wrote last night. I was like, we're looking for small things, like anything. Let's just try to pick something out of this game that's positive.
Yeah,
Santi in double figures, seven straight games.
That's going to really go over well with the fan base. The only person that it having a good year is
the
European.
Thank you for coming to work. I mean, that's all we're doing.
At least somebody showed up last night.
No, you're right. And also, like, I do think, you know, we mentioned, you know, Zach Edey and Ty Jerome. Also, no Scotty.
Like, yeah, no, I mean, there's
Scotty was an absolute, like, he is a dog.
Scotty is also a 40% three-point shooter last year.
That's right.
Ty Jerome, 40% three-point shooter last year. Now you got guys out there that can't make a shot that are probably a little bit better than their percentages so far, but, like, that doesn't change the situation. They're not so much better than their percentages that this is going to make a big difference.
I mean, Scotty scored 30 in the game four against the Thunder. Like, he's the only one whose balls dropped in that game for the most part. Like, I'd put it that way, but like I that was something I'm like, all right, that the Grizz are missing that. There is no question about that.
For sure.
I'm not saying that he would have been the difference last night, but like when we start talking about these non-competitive games, like I do think when you put him in the game, you know, he's a defibrillator in some way.
There's someone else that can put some pressure on the rim.
100%.
Without Ja and without Scotty, there's no one that can put pressure on the rim.
So, okay. Is the rope being let go of? Is that what we're watching 13 games into the season? It feels like it's sort of being let go of, but I don't want to over. People accuse me all the time of overreacting.
Well, yeah, we live in a what have you done for me lately league. I think that the two things can be true at once here. One is that if you were to grade Islo on the job he's done so far, you would not give him a very good grade because it doesn't feel like the team's been bought in.
Right.
That is true.
Right.
I also think that the Grizzlies, maybe more so than people would expect, have moved past some of the drama post-Lakers game, but it doesn't help that Ja and Jaren just simply aren't playing well right now. They're capable of playing better than this, right? And some of the frustration is just that inward, right, towards themselves of like, we are better players than this and we are not playing well right now. So all the frustration is not pointed in other directions. Some of the frustration is pointed towards themselves. Mm-hmm. And you've heard some of that in these post-game sessions. Like, Jaren's got to be better than he was last night. He's got to be he is a better player than that. We know that. We've seen it, right? Ja is a better player than what we saw in the Knicks game and what we saw in the Thunder game. He's a better player than that. So while some of this is a lack of buy-in and the effort element of this is certainly some of that falls on the responsibility of the coach, it's also the responsibility of some of these players to play up to their potential. We just haven't seen it.
I agree.
It's a multitude of bad things happening at one time that creates, to use the word again, this mess that the team is now in.
Well, I would just throw this at you. We've done it so openly about Ja, and I think most of us have agreed. And we had to address it because Ja kind of opened up Pandora's box, and you had the whole NBA saying the Grizzlies should trade Ja, like we were back there. And so we all said, well, you would get nothing in return for him. That's part of the reason why you don't do it. Many of us said that. I'm curious, and I'm not suggesting it ever gets here or would go there, but what's that conversation like? Is it similar? Is it similarly difficult in terms of unloading a Jaren, if you looked at him and thought, okay, what would the return look like for him? Is it similarly low? Do you think, well, I mean, you're talking about a former DPOY. You know, a lot of teams might look at him and say he completes us at that price. I don't know. I mean, I'd have to pull out everybody's, you know, how close they are to the apron and all that. But I'm just curious what you think generally the haul would be like as, you know, compared to what we've said would be pretty much nothing you want for Ja.
Well, to me, the concern with Jaren hasn't necessarily even been the offensive stuff, which everyone tends to focus on. It's that he hasn't been the same player he's been in the past defensively.
Yep.
And that certainly is a negative mark on his value. I do think, you know, we all talk about Zach Edey being able to clean up Ja's misses and set screens and how exciting that, like, I honestly think Zach Edey's biggest impact is going to be on Jaren.
What he does for Jaren.
Because the amount of space he can eat on the floor defensively that allows Jaren to sort of roam and be a weak side helper where he's been super elite over several seasons. He hasn't really had the opportunity to do that all that much this season.
Yep.
So I do think that Edie is going to help Jaren quite a bit. I think there's reason for optimism for Jaren defensively with Edie coming back. But just generally speaking on the trade stuff, I actually formulated some thoughts on this, and I may end up writing something at some point. The first thing with this is that it's too early for any of this to happen, because any player that just signed a contract this last offseason can't be traded until January or, in some cases, December. So the Grizzlies aren't going to do anything right now because it doesn't make sense. They don't have their full multitude of options to do something right now. I think that's sort of what people don't necessarily understand, and I get it, like, when the Grizzlies are the news because Ja takes a riff with the coaching staff public, everybody will talk about this.
Yep.
But the reality of it is it doesn't really make sense for the Grizzlies to do anything until January, right? So, like, let's keep that in mind here. As much of a mess as the season has been, as weird as it's been, as off as it has felt, the same question is facing this team now that was facing this team when the season started. The question was, do you believe Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson are two stars capable of taking this team to championship contention? That was the question. And this season was going to be about evaluating that and evaluating the pieces that you can put around them. That's been derailed by a lot of injuries so far. We got to give it time to at least see that, first of all. We haven't seen any of that yet because of the situation that the team has been put in. And I think when it comes to Ja specifically, not to go off of Jaren and go towards Ja, but like, there is a...
That's what y'all love to do.
There is a... Yeah, that's what everybody talks about.
I mean, everybody...
We've talked about trading Ja, but with, you know...
Yeah. No, but Jaren's like, oh, no, he's, you know...
No, I know. I think if you're going to unload Ja, then...
I mean, Jaren,
at some point...
Jaren's a guy that you could trick a team into giving you actual value for.
Well, yeah. But my point is this, is like with both of those guys, there's an emotional value that exists with the two of them, especially with Ja, because of the shoes and the highlights and the loyalty that both of those players have shown to the city when there's this stereotype across the NBA that the star players want to go play in LA and Miami and in the big markets, New York. And those guys have been loyal to this place. And so I think the fans are very loyal to them back. So there is emotional value that those two players create for your fan base. They put butts in seats, right? And
I don't think Jaren puts butts in seats. That's me.
Not to the same level of Ja. I think, obviously.
If you tell me that Ja's out, Jaren's going to be your... I'm not going. Like, that's just me. But I mean, maybe you're right for some people.
There are people that are Grizzlies fans that just support the team in general.
For sure.
Right? Like,
for sure.
If they're both like, you know.
Yeah.
But my point, where I'm trying to get to with this is like, that emotional value should matter to the Grizzlies front office. But the Grizzlies front office also has to take into account doing what is best for the basketball on the floor. And they have to answer that question. You know, the question of, do you believe that those two guys can be star players on championship contending teams? They eventually have to answer that question. They may not have to answer it until the trade deadline or into next offseason, but eventually they're going to have to answer that question.
Yeah.
And if the answer to that question is no, and those guys aren't playing like that right now, let's be honest. Like, those guys are not playing like it right now.
Yep.
There's time for them for this to get fixed and time for this to turn around. But that's what they eventually have to land on. They have to answer that question. And
well, I think you're hitting on it, which is like, we are probably in the process of getting
of figuring
answer,
that out, right?
And the answer is certainly shaded toward no. I mean, you know, we could sit here and we can wait for all the pieces to. First of all, it's the NBA. It's never going to be perfect. You're never going to have, as we know very well, you're never going to have the perfect complement of players available. I mean, somebody misses a game in the NBA every single night. And so if we're sitting around like Goldilocks, just waiting for the ports, oh, it's too cold, oh, it's too hot, we have to wait for it to be just right, it's just never going to happen. That day's never going to come. So we're going to have to make our best guess and our best educated guess. And I think, again, it's too soon
this year,
you got it. You got to give it some time to play out. We just talked about it. John and Jaron are better than this. They are better than this. They are better than the way that they have played this season. We know that.
Are they have been better? I don't know if we can necessarily say definitively that they
will be. Well, at some point, you have to decide if these things that are going on with them are these speed bumps or are these trends, right? Because Ja's changing his game right
now.
That's why Zach Kleiman
is paid the big bucks.
Right. He's going to have to make that decision. And I think he's going to be afforded the chance to make that decision. I know a lot of, like, he's come under fire too, the same way Isolo has. I think the Grizzlies are going to let him make that decision. And it's a big decision to make. It may not come until February, may not come until the offseason, but the clock is now ticking on that. Because if this was a no-brainer, guys, and you said the answer to that was yes, you could have extended Ja Morant this offseason. You didn't do it.
You didn't do it.
So,
and people thought he would.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens.
Cool. I think
that was a lot, sorry.
Well, again,
I think it was a fair assessment. Well,
I wasn't suggesting with the question, and I thought I said it to start, that I think it's time to do that. And you, very thoroughly, spent a lot of time on why it's not time. And I agree with that. My question, though, was, like we've done with Ja, what you think of, if you ever did get to that time, what a return for Jaron might look like, and if that value is high or low.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and you kind of hit a lot of stuff for us.
No. To be honest,
But if not, I mean, if it's something you don't want to address, that's fine.
Well, no, the reason that I did that was honestly because I spent a lot of time writing it yesterday and thought it through and then decided that it wasn't time to say that, so then I didn't do it.
Save it. Seriously, because I know I want you to write that first. You know what I'm saying? I don't want you to give away
Answer the Jaron question, though, I do think he would get return, yes. I think he'd get a good return, yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's elements to Jaron or to Ja that don't exist with Jaron.
It is a big contract.
Some of the off-the-court stuff, yeah. It's a huge contract.
But you would tell – I think a contender – would trade for Jaron.
Somebody would say he's the missing piece we need.
That's what I was thinking. Whereas I do not believe. I know Miami keeps getting brought up for Ja Morant. Maybe. I mean, maybe Pat Riley is that guy, and he's willing to say, "I'll fix him."
But, Minnesota is an interesting one too. But again, it's like I'm trying to be careful here, Jason, because this is a sensitive situation. And I, as I just said,
understood.
I think there is value to the emotional attachment that those guys have to the city.
I couldn't agree more. I
agree with you.
And I think there would be serious backlash if they decided to do something like that.
Well.
So I'm trying to be sensitive to that because I think that stuff does matter to me, in my opinion.
But
whether that's going to matter to the franchise, I don't know. But I think it matters.
My counter to that would be if the longer that this goes on, right, with this disengaged, pouting, you know, both guys are not, producing. I do think the fan base will, in a way, turn on those. I mean, it's a fickle.
Well, right now, the fingers are pointed at Isolo.
Oh, no, but at some point, they won't be. At some point, it'll be incumbent on the play. I mean, this is the NBA, right, where you are paid handsomely to produce, regardless of, you know, whether or not you agree with the coach or not. I mean, and I don't know what the Grizzlies' plan is with Isolo, how committed they are to him. Like, we don't really have any direction on that. It seems like, fundamentally, they like him. I mean, they went out and got him and paid him and all those things and hired him and all those things. So they're going to have to grit and bear it and produce. And if we're going to sit here and we're going to play at 4-9 pace, you know, every 13 games, I do think that political goodwill can fade pretty quickly, you know, if the guys aren't, you know, going out there and playing. Like, if we get more performances like that one from Jaron last night, for example.
I mean, maybe, but they've been so loyal to this place. It's like, that's the thing, you know. Ja's been immensely loyal to Memphis. And so, like, I think people are going to give him a lot of loyalty back. I don't know how you feel.
Dude, he's a star,
like,
man.
I mean,
you don't trade generational stars, man. You know, you put pieces around that star and you address his flaws. With Jaron, it's and you've talked about it because this is what it is, figuring out if you can win with those two guys. But as you know very well, the issue with Jaron is it's really going to have to be three because he's so chained to needing the specific type of way of winning with him where you need that big center. And there's just, that's the thing. So you better have that guy. It puts so much dependence
now on that center position, and it just ties you up. Evan Mobley's making big boy money now. He's blocking shots. He's rebounding. He's past
yep.
Jaren.
Yep.
He's averaging more points. And that's a big who's a max big, and you look at him and you say, you know what, you're getting your money's worth.
Mm-hmm.
But with Jaren, you got to get the money's worth, and then you need the Zach Edey, the Steven Adams next to him. And so it's just he's flawed in a both flawed,
right.
but flawed in a way that ties you to something else structurally. Man, I can put 3-and-D guys around Ja, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. to address those things so long as he's there because availability's one of those flaws
yeah,
for him.
Right.
But with Jaren.
And so long as he's the same level of player we saw last year in two or three years. Like that's what you're projecting, right? That's what matters.
Because he's not the same guy right now. And I don't, I think he still is that. I'm hoping that he can still be that. He's not attacking the same way. But I think there's still that superstar in Ja. We saw it. We saw call 12 twice this year.
Yeah. Right. New Orleans and Phoenix. Great.
We called 12. He looked damn good.
Yeah, he did.
So I know what that does and what my money is getting there. I think you're hitting on something with they didn't do the contract extension. They're leaving themselves some flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy to me, and especially if the return is going to be higher, Drew, and I'm not trying to get here ahead of time, and I didn't mean to put you in an uncomfortable position.
No, no, no.
But that's the point. To me, if the higher returns for Jared, maybe, and you're chained to having to have that center, maybe you can find a different way to win with more pieces.
Yeah.
In a way that's more modern.
Well, my counter to that, and I agree with it. I mean, it's just true.
Just asking the question, not saying that's where you get to.
But if you go and look at 2026, 2027 salaries, and you look at the guys who are making the money that Jaren is making, there's not a single one of them that needs somebody else to be their best selves.
I've looked at this.
I mean, that's the problem.
And Cat is a guy that some would say, but if you look.
But he's going to give you 28.
He's going to give you, and the 12, yeah, the 12 and a half rebounds, I think yes. it was that he averaged last year.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that there aren't flawed players ahead of him, but I'm like.
No, some people throw Cat at me just to point your thing at you. Oh, you like to have a center beside. It's not, he gets the 12 and a half rebounds.
Regardless.
That's different, right? Regardless. Different than Jaren.
The other thing here to consider is just timeline, right? Because if you were to move off of Jaren, then you have Ja, who would be, by the time you get the full returns of the Desmond Bain trade, it's going to be 28, 29. And then those players are going to have to develop a little bit to have the full amount of pieces around him.
Yeah.
So if you're going to make a trade like that, like for a Jaren, you better get some guys that can play right now.
Absolutely. Oh,
because you can't keep pushing the timeline further down the line.
Well, Ja's not going to take that, to your point. Like Ja ain't waiting around that long.
Well, really, it feels like if you trade Jaren, you're just starting over.
I'm just saying, to his point, if you trade Jaren, you better get something that can play right now next to Ja before he asks for out of here. Hey, I can't keep waiting. I'm in year seven. Back to your point, mm-hmm. right? Ja's not going to keep being patient for you put guys around him and wait to develop a new crop of guys. To Drew's point, I agree. If you did decide to trade Jaren, you'd need players that could go right now.
Yeah, you need guys that can
play. I agree with that completely.
You can't wait for Ja to be 31 and then 32 and expect that he's going to be what he was when he was 25.
Exactly.
That's just like you can't do that.
Like I said, we're already seeing today, like the reckless abandon that he once played with was an advantage.
Well, I don't want him using it out there with a bunch of screw.
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
He's not really using it at all anymore, though.
But to that point, that's why we didn't mind the off day. For a guy we'd love to see every game, no, man, sit down.
Yeah.
I mean, you're already out there undermanned as it is.
Well, every player like that at some point has a, has a point in their career where, whether it's D-Rose, whether it's Russell Westbrook, whatever, where their game fundamentally has to change. And I'm not saying that has to be right now for Ja, but it's coming sooner than people probably like.
Do you guys think that the number, what the fans want the most is just for Ja and Jaren to look like the stars again, and then you feel validated and you say, okay, we're going to continue this rebuild around them?
Is totally.
Because that's what you've always
told
yourself,
right? Do you think that there's more? I think there's more so that those people. Do you think there's people in the other boat that are just, like, ready to move on?
I mean, have there been, am I, have
I don't
been,
know. I just don't see
I don't
those
think move on
folks
those
out
too.
There. Like, I just don't see those, I don't see that opinion anywhere,
Which one?
I see frustration.
That they're just ready to, that they're just like blow it up, start over.
Oh, no.
Usually,
no, that's,
sometimes fans do get to that point, right? Yeah. Like, with the Cubs, I can remember getting to that point a few different times. It's just like, blow it up, start over.
No, I think most
fans. I just don't think anybody, I haven't seen any opinions out there like everyone that I see is just like, you know, we got to get Ja right.
Well, that
like,
goes, that goes to your point about the loyalty, right? Most fans, I think, and I don't, maybe this isn't true for everybody, but I think most fans are in the stage of blaming Isolo. Most fans are in the stage of it's his fault. He's his system has ruined both of them, and until that changes, you know, they can't be themselves. So I do think that's a stage of denial, you know, because unless the Grizzlies just made some kind of grave miscalculation on the guy, because, like, I mean, I assume they knew exactly, everybody involved knew what this was going to be when the decision was made. I have to believe that Ja and Jaren in the front office. So unless there was a miscalculation, but I think right now the fan base is convinced that it's Thomas Isolo's fault.
I just wish so badly that Ja and Jaren looked right, and so we could just talk about how great Cedric Cowart has looked. You know, that's just what I wish. I wish so badly for that.
Because he really is awesome.
He's really awesome. Yeah. You know,
The kid doesn't deserve a team that's checked out around him either.
Wow.
The way how hard he's playing. Real quick, what are the chances the Phoenix Suns pick that we've all talked about is not a lottery pick? And what happens with that? Do you get the hire of Phoenix and?
You okay? So there's four teams involved,
right?
Washington, Phoenix, the Magic, and the Grizzlies. Grizzlies will get the middle two of those picks, unless the Wizards are outside of the top eight. So they're 1-11.
Yeah.
They're not going to be. So they're going to be in at least in that 5-6 spot. So I think that there's a decent chance that the Phoenix pick is indeed not a lottery pick when you consider what's happening, because you've got, you know, the Clippers are a disaster right now.
They're a mess.
You know, the Kings, you can't really feel good about, and they've got an older roster. You wonder if they're just going to try to move off of guys and get worse. The Pelicans, boy, that one's bad. The Mavericks, they may trade Anthony Davis. So I think Phoenix is going to. Phoenix, who has no incentive to tank at all, is probably going to be better than all those teams. Yeah, so we'll see.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, I really don't want to put you in a bad spot, but do you think everybody involved knew how much friction there could possibly be with Isolo, his style, and this roster, or do you think they overlooked that or didn't consider it? Or I'm just, because it's not a fit, it feels like, at all.
Well, I mean, Ja was on the same page, right?
I mean,
that's where you start with that.
The players were on the same page.
They were with it.
So, they overestimated or underestimated.
I guess they were wrong. But, like, this is what they wanted. This is who they wanted.
Right. Let's see it with some shooting and at least Edie.
Yeah.
But it looks bad, John. I know what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean,
it'll be time for that later.
Yeah. Well, it's that the day of judgment, it cometh.
But folks got to remember, Ja was on board. That's key in this.
Ja was on board, yes. Ja was on board with Isolo. And he
jumped ship.
And then, I made that point online and got blowback, people saying, well, he has the right to change his mind, dude. It's like, yeah, he does. I agree. I agree 100%.
And Ja changes his mind, as we've seen.
And the question just is, when and if that happens, what does the organization do? And I think that's the part that we're watching play out in real time, and it's not good. It's not good right now.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.